Okay, what everybody's talking about. Well, we're talking about Flag Day today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And if you happen to be one of those lucky ones that are on Facebook or YouTube, you will see that we are both wearing red, white, and blue. Hi, Jerry. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Got some stuff done around the house. Beautiful Mass celebration yesterday. You know, going to Mass on weekends, always a high point. And actually had a little time to relax a little bit, so that was nice. Yeah. How about yours?
Great. Well, fabulous. We went to a beautiful 5 o'clock Sunday Mass at St. Timothy's, our parish, and Father had a wonderful homily. He even brought visual aids up on to the altar. It was a teen Mass, and he did such a fabulous job communicating the gospel message to all of us. And so, it was a great way to finish off the weekend to go to Mass. Absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, as we begin the week of broadcasts on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, as Debbie said, it is Flag Day, and this has been going on since, I think, 1777. So it's been a long time that this day, well, it's kind of transferred around a little bit, but it's been settled on June 14th for quite a long time. So we thought we would ask you how you honor the U.S. flag, the American flag. You can call in and share that at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Okay, so I always get text messages because folks happen to really like my bling ball caps. I call them golf hats because I play golf. I don't play baseball anymore. And when I didn't get any taller, I stopped playing baseball. Or softball, I should say. At the major department stores, they all have them now. They used to have them only in fairs, boutique fairs around, you know, different ones that different towns put on. But now they have them in all the major department stores. So, folks, if you want to have a bling ball cap, especially for today, Flag Day, or the 4th of July that's coming up, I think they're kind of fun. I don't know, Jerry, if you or Marty would want one, but for us, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it looks good on you.
I have seen you wear a ball cap one time. I don't think I've ever
I have
seen
tons,
you.
I have tons of caps, ball caps,
you
baseball
do?
Caps. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
None of them have bling on them, though.
I'll glue a little star on. Hey, you've got your birthday coming up. I'll put a little star on one of your hats sometime.
Yeah, thank you. That would be great.
You'll probably go home and rip it right off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so we're talking about Flag Day today. How do you honor the stars and stripes? Now, I know we're in a world right now where that's can be a little bit of a unusual situation. I understand that folks are flying flags on their cars and their trucks, and they're being met with people that are opposed to that. That's kind of an interesting dynamic, right? We live in the United States of America, and this is our country's flag, and yet people are opposed to it. We can talk about that as well, right, Jerry?
Well, that, and this is also considered the official birthday of the United States Army. So we would definitely welcome and invite any veterans, any current servicemen or women in the Army. Talk about your decision to go in and serve our country, what your experience was like, how you really operated and did what you did or are doing what you're doing under the banner of the U.S. flag and what that means for you. 833-288-3986. Couple lines are already occupied, but still about three or four more are open, but I would guess not for long.
I want to just share that when my dad died, because he served in the Navy, he received the, folded up beautifully, the funeral flag, the United States flag, where it's folded up and put it into the beautiful case and everything. And my mother gave it to me to hold, and she said, would you put it in a prominent place? And so we actually did display it in my husband's office. because my husband, Marty's family is very military family. My family is as well. And my husband was very close to my dad. And so we have a beautiful display of that. When I see it, it brings tears to my eyes. I think of all the people that died so that we can have the freedoms we have today. And I oftentimes, Jerry, I get a little nervous because I don't know if we really appreciate what we have, because I see it slipping through our fingers rapidly.
Yeah, it's really sad. I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus Council where I live, and you know, every council meeting we start with prayer, of course, but also a recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And as I do that, you know, sometimes I really try to intentionally let my mind and my heart go to where a lot of people have gone. I never served in military myself. I signed up for the draft when I was 18. It never happened, but I just try and really make a conscious effort to recognize and have gratitude for all those who have done what they have done to protect our flag, you know, to protect it. You know, you got people in this country who, like you said, Debbie, you disrespect it, they burn it. You know, my thoughts are, if you don't like this country, there are plenty of others to choose from. You know, you don't have to try and drag this one down, but it seems a lot of people do. So let's have a celebration of the American flag today.
I love the fact that my neighbor right across the street, her husband served in the military. He has now gone on for his eternal rewards. But she resurrected a beautiful pole and a gorgeous American flag with a light, beautiful light that comes on solar. It comes on at the right times and everything. It's so cool. And it's just exquisite. It looks so professional and classy and respectful. And I love it. I love opening my front door and seeing it each and every day.
What a blessing that is.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, she really took care of our whole street by doing that, you know?
Fantastic. Beautiful.
But a lot of people are nervous about flying the American flag. Let's face it, we're in a very awkward time in our country.
Yeah, but I think a time, and you would agree, I know, with this, a time when we need to be proud of the U.S. flag. Proud to be citizens of this country, or if there are people who are not citizens but still legal residents, you know, it really is a time to be proud of our country and the flag that represents our country. A flag is not just a piece of cloth, you know. It represents our country just like every other country has its flag, and they should be proud of that as well. So share with us how you honor the U.S. flag today on Flag Day on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie. Here's the number, 833-288-3986.
We're talking about how we honor the American flag today on Flag Day. So please join us. We have some open phone lines. Please don't wait too much longer to dial in. We're very friendly. You'll speak to Rich Jesse. He'll talk to you for a few minutes, put you on hold. You get to listen live and come straight into the show and into the conversation. And you will contribute as you always have been doing for the past almost 6 years. Tomorrow is our anniversary, our 6-year anniversary. This is so exciting on Take 2. So here's the number, 833-288-3986. Jerry, just real quickly, if I may mention, celebrate Mother Angelica's remarkable life, her words, and her works. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica today. That's the Mother Angelica Memorial. You'll love it. Just visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica today.
Okay. You can be a part of the program in many different ways. The usual one, for most people anyway, not everyone, is to call in at 833-288-3986. You can also email us, take2@EWTN.com. You can text the letters EWTN to 55000, wait for a response, and put in your message. That'll come to us via text. There may be a small data rate there. You can email. You can post on the Take Two Show website, take2show.com. And if you're watching the video stream on Facebook or YouTube, we're waving at you folks. Love you. Love you being part of the Take Two family. You can post your comments there. And Jeff Burson, our ever-present media social media manager, will get some of those for you. And we will try to read as many as we can.
You know, folks can also call in because this is like the eve of our anniversary, Jerry.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Let's not forget about that.
I know. 6 years. Amazing. You guys, you did it. You did it. You led this show. You continue to make this show as great as it is. And it's all because of your participation. This show works best when it is live and we can have full participation from the mystical body of Christ. And so we just want to thank you so very much. It brings, see, I'm going to get emotional already. I get emotional at the flag, Jerry, and I get emotional when I think of the Take Two family because you guys are so special to us. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Ellen got in first in New Iberia, Louisiana, listening on the EWTN app, talking about how we honor the U.S. flag. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to Take Two.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I love the flag, always fly the flag, you know, the whole tears and everything. And we used to live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I was on my way one morning to Mass at the Franciscan Retreat House, and I was so sad. My heart was just crushed. Bill Clinton had desecrated the White House again and again, and as I went around the curve, there was a beautiful home with a flag, and I felt like the Lord, you know, was let me see that blue, that field of blue, was Our Lady's mantle over our country, that the stars were the guardian angels, and the red and white stripes were the blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, the font of mercy. So that gave me much consolation, and now the flag means more to me than ever.
Wow. Wow, Ellen, what a gift you were given there. And there are times when we can feel down about a lot of things that are going on in this great country. We still call it great. I certainly do. And I love the images that presented themselves to you at that point, because the different colors of the flag definitely have a very significant meaning in and of themselves. But the Holy Spirit was kind of able to transform those images for you, as you said, into the blue into a thought of Our Lady, the white, the guardian angels. And I love, of course, the red, the blood of Jesus, because if I am not mistaken, the red in the flag does represent the blood that has been shed by citizens of this country in the military. So, wow, Debbie, a really wonderful mental picture image that she's presented there.
Oh, absolutely. You put the spiritual tone to the American flag, Ellen, and I so agree with you. You know, as you were talking, I was just, you know, thinking about the American flag, and I was thinking about when I traveled to Europe and other countries outside of the United States. You know, when you see the United States flag, the American flag at our embassies around the world, you know, what comes to mind? What comes to mind for you? That's what I would love to ask that question of you, Ellen, and everybody that's listening. Mm-hmm. Because for me, what comes to mind is freedom. And we are so blessed. And there's freedom in so many ways. There's spiritual freedom, and there's just in our world, the freedoms we enjoy. And I think we're missing the mark just a little bit. And in that little bit that we miss, we're going in a direction that I hope to goodness we don't go any further down that road. What do you think, Ellen?
I agree. There's nothing like seeing the flag when nothing is familiar, but there is that red, white, and blue. And it's like, thank you, Lord. And all it represents, and I mean, we feed the world, we, you know, do all these great things, and it's a sign of hope.
Yeah, it sure is. It is, Ellen, really. And I just want to relate a quick story. At the parish where I go, there's a retired colonel. He's got to be deep into his 80s by now, has a tremendous difficulty even just walking. And he would come into the church, and he would, there's just two steps up into the sanctuary area where, and I'm not condoning anybody going up in there because I don't know if we're supposed to do that, but we have the Vatican flag and the American flag, and he takes those two steps up there, almost falls on each of the steps. There's people, we're all worried about him. Somebody finally went up to help him, but he goes up and he salutes the flag. And I have cried when he has done that. You know, I mean, you think about this man, what he went through, the ones he served with who didn't come home, the sacrifices that they all made, to see that the flag means that much to somebody is a tremendous inspiration. I wish I could have just videotaped that and put it out there for the whole world to see.
Amen. I agree.
Thank you.
Well, we need to do more talk like this, Ellen. We need to do more so that we can drown out those negative, dark voices that are trying to stop and suppress and squelch everything that we know to be true. We have to hold on to what we know that is truth. And truth will prevail. That's how I see it. Otherwise, I could get really down. I mean, we all could. We could get really down. You just got to turn on the news, and it could really just ruin your day. So we really have to stay in that truth. Right, Ellen?
That's right. Yep.
Amen. Amen, sister. Great job.
God bless you, Ellen. Thanks so much for the call. Talking about the U.S. flag today on Flag Day, the birthday of the U.S. Army. What are your thoughts on that? How you respect and honor the flag? If you served in the Army, or if you're currently serving, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And we go to Jerry, listening on the EWTN app in Round Lake, Illinois. Hi, Jerry. Glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me. I think this kind of goes along with the flow of what we've been talking about. I think it's not in an accident the fact that the church and patriotism have been affected by the culture, and not necessarily always for the good. And I think we need to remember a couple things and do it right. Number one, we should not be wearing the flag as apparel. And number two, I know it's meant well, but people will put small flags out in their yards. Multiple mini flags, but we have to be really careful, and maybe it is technical, but they should never be touching the ground.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, the treatment, the way we handle and treat the U.S. flag has been largely lost on a lot of people. I don't even remember all of the proper things to do, but you take it down at night and you fold it up properly, you put it up in the morning, we fly the flag at half staff when there have been tragedies and things like that. So, yeah, I think, Debbie, that, you know, just that's a, when we talk about a show like this, how do we honor and respect the American flag? It should really start right there in how we actually treat the physical flag itself.
And Jerry, let me ask you a question, though, because I announced at the, I agree with you, can't touch the ground, it has to be taken down, you know, has to have a light on it, and I all the protocol around how to respect and honor the American flag. But Jerry, you made a comment, you said it should not be used as apparel. I shared at the beginning of the show that I'm wearing a bling American flag. I think it looks very respectful. It's done tastefully, but I've seen a lot of even military folks wear, you know, flags on their shirts, and so that's not proper, Jerry?
Well, I'm not talking about wearing the, I know the military wear the flag on their shoulder or on the top of their arm. I'm talking about when a shirt or a pair of pants are made into a flag, you know,
of thing. Okay, and so actually, like, kind of wearing the flag, yeah.
Right. In other words, what I wanted to make sure things were still the same, so I actually did a Google on that, and it still stands. But I think with each generation, we forget, you know, and we need to teach our children. You know, a lot of young people today, if you say, what's June 6, 1944, they wouldn't have a clue. So it's up to us to keep it alive.
Right. Well, and that goes along the lines of what we did a show on a couple years ago. Jerry, you'll remember this, when we talked about wearing the rosary as a piece of jewelry. And then we had even priests weigh in and say that as long as it's tastefully done, respectfully, that you're trying to keep in mind the rosary, keep it in the forefront of your mind, also pass on the message that you pray the rosary, then it's okay. But as a piece of jewelry, it is not proper. So that kind of goes in the same vein, right, Jerry?
Absolutely, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and Jerry, you mentioned the how the faith is being chipped away at the same time, patriotism and so forth, and they really do, in a very real sense, go hand in hand. I do believe that the word patriot or patriotic has at the root the Greek word pater, which means father, and from that it evolves into fatherland, native land, a love of country. And patriotism actually is a virtue, and anyone who's a member of the Knights of Columbus knows that among the four pillars that the Knights of Columbus adhere to, one of them is patriotism. So it really is. I think there's a connection there, Jerry. I really do. You know, if we let one of them wane, that is love of church or country, the other ones, in a very short order, I think, are probably going to be right behind it, unfortunately.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Any comments?
Go ahead. One last thing. As you were saying, Jerry, you turn on the TV and watch a sporting event, a baseball game or anything else, and it would be nice to see everyone taking their hats off when the national anthem is played, but I'm afraid in this day and age, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you look all through the crowd and you see very, very little of that. You're right, Jerry. It's unfortunate, but thanks for the call. We really appreciate your participation in the program. 833-288-3986. We got Rick next in Harrisonburg, Virginia, listening online at EWTN.com. Hi, Rick. Welcome to our conversation. Hello, Rick. Are you there?
Oh.
He might be listening on the radio.
Yeah, Rick, can you turn down the radio? And you're on the air, Rick. Oh, we can't hear
him. Okay, yeah. Tell you what, let's have Rich Jesse go back to Rick on his handset there, and we can go to Charles in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Charles. Good to have you with us.
Yes, I enjoy listening to your programs in the morning. I appreciate the ability to call in.
Thank you.
One thing that concerns me is people are conscientious about the flag, but the flag is not, it's an object. Where the Constitution.
Uh-oh. Charles just dropped.
Yeah. Do you know what he was going? Where he was going? Why don't you finish? Because I think I got a good understanding.
Go ahead. If you think you've got a handle on it, yeah.
Well, yeah, we just lost Charles, but hopefully Charles can call back. But I think where he was going was that the visual image is an object that points us to an understanding, and the understanding is the U.S. Constitution and what our founding fathers created for all of us to enjoy the liberties, the freedoms, the benefits of living in this fine country. And so, I mean, you can apply that to what we talk about spiritual art, right? It is a visual aid to help us focus on a deeper truth, a better understanding. The meaning is deeper than the object itself. That's where I thought he was going. What do you think, Jerry? That's my best guess.
Yeah, maybe we can find out from Charles if you get a chance to call in. That line that you were on actually has remained open, Charles. That doesn't usually happen. So please, if something, you know, unless something went wrong with your phone, please do try and call us again and join us at 833-288-3986.
And let me just share something real quickly. In talking about the U.S. Constitution, what we're seeing today is a slow dismantling of that. And that is very problematic, folks. I love history. I'm a history buff. I was actually going to major in history. I absolutely love it. And we're seeing history repeat itself right now. We're in a very critical, I think, dangerous point in our country where it's going to go one way or the other. And we really need strong leadership voices to step up and speak the truth. And that includes Holy Mother Church. Our Catholic Church needs to come out strong, I think, Jerry.
Yeah, and we are supposed to be one nation under God. Let us hope that that gets strengthened more and more as we go on. Charles did get back on the line. Charles, hang on. We're going to get to you first in just a moment. We have Rick in Harrisonburg, Virginia. We have Tony in San Antonio. Maureen is with us from Buffalo. Dave is in Philadelphia. And we welcome you to get on that open phone line as we talk about honoring and respecting the U.S. flag on this Flag Day at 833-288-3986.
We're having having a great discussion today about the American flag on Flag Day. So if you want to join us, please do so. 833-288-3986. And Jerry promised we'd go back to Charles, who called back from Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Charles. Welcome back.
Yes, I was making the point that the flag represents the Constitution. That's the reason in our Pledge of Allegiance, it says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and the republic for which it stands. And that's an important feature that people don't understand many times, because we're called a democracy, and democracies are short in their lives and violent in their deaths. And that, and in the Federalist Papers, the founders, in one of the Federalist Papers, I believe it's Federalist Paper number 10, they talked about why they did not give us a democracy. Christ was crucified in a democratic vote, if you remember. And democracy is like a lynch mob. You have one dissenting vote when they catch up with a person who's suspected of murder or theft, and they vote to hang him. Well, that's a democracy at work. Well, a sheriff comes up and says, you can't hang this man. He's got a right to a trial. So there's a big difference in democracy and republic, and I think that's one of the problems we've got today. We do not understand, as the prophet Hosea said 4,000 years ago, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Well, Charles, you have stated some very wise things, none of which can be argued with, I don't think. But yeah, remembering the Constitution, I love the way you pointed out both of those elements of the Pledge of Allegiance, so very, very important. And I don't know, I hear things, I see things on the news, you know, where younger generations are not really being taught U.S. history or the Constitution or really what the flag stands for. And so, yeah, I think, Debbie, as we go forward, and with each passing generation, it's going to be less and less of a due respect and you know, honoring of the flag, and not just the flag, but the Constitution. We must be a constitutional country. We have to be. They work real hard at that.
Yeah. You know what I am noticing, though, Charles? Go ahead, Charles.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know what I am noticing? Okay, what I am noticing when I'm watching the news lately is a lot of very strong, courageous teachers are stepping up and sharing exactly what Jerry just said and what you just shared, Charles. And that's what we need. We need our fine, educated teachers to stand up without political agendas and all sorts of other things governing them, but to really understand what the truth is and what we know about our American history, and to stand up and to speak out on behalf of all the children that they serve. I think it's really important we hear more teachers and that's what I've been praying for, just to let you know, Charles and Jerry. I've been praying that teachers can rise up and represent our youth, because without them, you know, our youth is going to be led down a direction that they're never going to really know the truth. And once you get so far down that road, it's hard to be re-educated again. It really is. So indoctrination takes hold, and then it gets very destructive. What do you think, Charles?
Well, I do know, and I believe, and I've followed the Catholic Church for many years, and they're very anti-communist. And what we've got to understand here is the philosophy that's being taught is right out of the Communist Manifesto. And you've got to be as familiar with the Communist Manifesto as we are with some of the other programs that are being perpetuated. For example, the communists had a three-pronged program to rule the world. Three steps. They said they had to destroy the family, destroy the private property, and destroy religion. Change religion to the worship of men rather than God. There's also other very important points to the Communist Manifesto too, and what he said. Lenin, before he died, laid out a plan to take the world. Very simple plan. He said, first we'll take Eastern Europe. They didn't have to take it. We gave it to them after World War II. Then we'll take the masses of Asia, he said. Then we will surround the last bastion of freedom and capitalism, the United States of America. We will not have to attack. It will fall like an overripe fruit into our hands. And the communists love democracy. they know that people will vote themselves into socialism, and socialism is the foundation for communism. Marx said in the manifesto, we'll socialize the world before we communize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a pretty simple formula that you laid out that the manifesto talks about, Charles. Destroy the family, destroy private property, and of course, destroy religion. We have to wake up, I think, in this country right now and realize we can't just, you know, drift along like it's business as usual. We've had times in our country's history where we could kind of do that, sort of go with the flow and think and you know, understand that things were going to be okay. But right now, there is an intense battle within our country, and we must, Debbie, we must fight, and I think fight first on our knees spiritually. We are one nation under God. We have to ask that God whose protection we are under to help us in this very, very intense and quite frightening battle. It's first and foremost a spiritual battle, but it has many human elements too.
Well, just go look at
can
the...
Can I make a suggestion? Maybe one day on your program you could have a day of... Take the Communist Manifesto and break it down into what Marx said. And once you understand what he said, then you'll be able to... You got to know your enemy. All communists are atheists, but not all atheists are communists. But we've got to understand that the program that's going on today in the public schools and the attack against the Constitution, the attack against the free market, the attack against America is being played out by communist conspirators. That's the only way to say it.
Well, Charles, thank you so much. Great points, and we will definitely take that into consideration because we are filling our summer calendar right now on Take Two. So, Charles, thank you so very much for stepping up and sharing with all of us today, making us aware and having these great conversations that can really help us. But I just wanted to go back to this real quickly. Just look, folks, at the approved Marian apparitions. Our Blessed Mother herself said to the visionaries, we must pray to stop the spread of communism. Okay, so this came right from the Blessed Mother herself. I say we do exactly that, Jerry. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. And Charles, I echo Debbie's gratitude. Thank you for calling and being part of the program. We appreciate that. As is very often the case, we have full phone lines, so we're going to get to as many people as we can. Thanks again, Charles. Rick is in Harrisonburg, Virginia, listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Rick.
Hi, everybody. I don't know how to follow Charles. That's a tough one. And I agree with everything he does say. I am a veteran of the Air Force, and I really appreciate y'all honoring the flag today. What I wanted to say is that if you've never participated in a formal flag retirement ceremony, that is formally how when a flag gets old, tattered, it gets burned, it's an experience you'll never forget. It takes about an hour. A lot of times Boy Scout troops will hold this ceremony. And one of the most memorable parts is when the flag is retired, we respectfully cut the stripes off the flag, and the audience gets to participate by walking up and laying a strip onto the burning fire. And if there are a number of flags that are a part of the ceremony, the stars are cut out, and any veterans are invited to respectfully lay the stars onto the bed of fire. At the end of the ceremony, the grommets are carefully removed, cooled off, and they are presented to any veteran that wishes to take them.
Hmm. Wow. You know, Rick, I believe I saw part of the flag retirement ceremony one time on a broadcast I was watching, and I didn't understand the whole, you know, ceremonial, you know, protocol of that. But I was so moved. And as you were speaking, I just started welling up with emotion because I recalled that. I'm sure on YouTube we could probably see one, right? A full ceremony?
Yeah, absolutely. And each state is described during the flag retirement ceremony. And I understand, you know, again, the emotional part of it. You know, as a veteran, Every time I hear the Star-Spangled Banner, it's just there's so much pride in me. And according to the U.S. Code, flag code, I am able to salute the flag, even not in uniform. Although I'm a member of the Civil Air Patrol, so I am in uniform at times, but I'm able to salute the flag, and I just so appreciate that part of my life.
Well, Rick, we appreciate your service in the Air Force and continuing on now, like you said. We are so grateful for that, for all the men and women who are listening, those living, those deceased. We can never lose sight of the fact that it is real human beings with human red blood that is often shed, and the sacrifice and let's face it, the courage that it often takes to make that step, going into the military, knowing that even in peace times there could be dangers around the world, but especially when there are conflicts that so many have engaged in. So, Rick, we have our heartfelt thanks going out to you right now as well.
Well, thank you. And one last point, whenever I served during the Cold War, 1977 to 81, and I kind of feel funny a lot of times when during Veterans Day, they honor veterans, even in our mass, because I really didn't do much. I was stateside, but my wife really reminds me that even though it wasn't, Iraq or Afghanistan, I just want to remind anybody that served during peacetime that we were standing ready, and we were ready to go should we be called up. So that helps me a little bit in my understanding.
Well, I just want to say, Rick, that should help you in great ways, because my dad used to talk about that all the time. My dad was the same thing. He served during peacetime, and he felt the same way, and he was told by his brother, who actually served, who flew fighter jets, no, you are standing ready, and you have given the intention, you have given forth your intention to serve your country and to go to battle. So you should be very, very proud in a great way. And thank you for your service and saying yes to the military and your willingness to defend all of the freedoms. So I agree with what your wife says, and my dad used to say that all the time.
Oh, thanks very much. And I appreciate again you bringing up the subject of Flag Day, and we respect that. Thanks again.
Thanks, Rick. You're very welcome. I want to mention The Journey Home tonight on EWTN television and many of these same EWTN TV, radio stations. Marcus Grodi is the host of The Journey Home. You've undoubtedly seen it or heard it on the radio by now. It's 8 p.m. tonight, and he has former Episcopal Bishop John Lipscomb joining him to discuss his conversion to Catholicism and his experiences as a married priest. So that's Marcus Grodi, The Journey Home, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on many of these same EWTN stations.
Okay, we're going to move next. We got social media comments coming in. We could definitely do a part two and part three, but tomorrow's our take two anniversary, so we want to talk about anniversaries tomorrow. But we're going to move quickly to Kevin in Hendersonville, North Carolina. That's a mouthful, Kevin. EWTN Online is the way you're listening. Welcome.
Yes, I am, Derek, Debbie, and Jerry. Good to be here. The topic of the Flag Day and the flag is dear to my heart. I'm a retired Army colonel, and I've served in the military capacity. I've also served at embassies in South America. And the flag is very special to me because it stands for this country. We are a beacon on the hill, a shining beacon. We have a great country. We're not perfect, but I tell you what, we're better than any other country I know. And when I see the flag, it kind of just brings the tears. I just get very emotional about it. Because of what it means, my dad was in the Army. My dad was a combat engineer, and he fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And those folks who fought and served, they preserved our freedom. If they didn't fight that way and honor our flag and our country, he'd be speaking German today. So I'm very, very thankful for the flag, and I've been overseas. I've seen repression. I've seen military on the streets. I've seen my military guy run the country. You have no rights, and basically, thank God you're an American. And also, too, when you're overseas, you see all the people live, and they don't live as well as we do for the most part. I've been overseas in South America, in Colombia, and I've seen people live in cardboard boxes. That's unbelievable. One day I was going to work at the embassy, and my daughter, who was about maybe 7 years old back at that time, said, "Dad, why do those kids live in cardboard houses?" And it was kind of like a very touching question for me. I said, "Well, it's because the government doesn't take care of the people or there's not enough money." But that hit me. And she went to a school, a very nice school, the best one in the country, and right across the street, it was a school, had dirt floors. So I know how great this country is, and I love the folks who live here. And also, too, about the embassy flag, something which bothers me, it came out a couple weeks ago, is beneath the U.S. flag at their embassies, they're flying the gay flag, the color flag. To me, that's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fly one flag, fly the U.S. flag. We may not, you know, we're not all gay. We're all U.S. citizens, and most of us are. And don't dishonor the flag by putting something else up there, especially something that is not right. It's wrong. So, like I said, I love the flag, and I love your show. I've met the caller earlier on different topics, and but finally got through. And you guys do great work. And, you know, your patriotism is also evident. It comes through. And that's the thing we need today. And we have it. You just don't see it. All you see in the radio and on TV, baseball teams, you know, not playing a game in a certain state, you know, football teams taking the knee. My philosophy is this on that. If you want to protest this country, you want to take the knee, do it on your time. Don't do it on my time, because I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Kevin, you made so many great points. Yeah, I mean, let's just be real here. You know, if it's a U.S. installation somewhere, an embassy or what have you, fly the U.S. flag. That's what's supposed to be there, not anything else. If you got a social message you want to make, like you said, do it on your own time or on your own property or whatever. But, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about one of the disadvantages that the rest of us have is that, you know, you went overseas. We don't see our country from that perspective. You're right, Kevin. If we had the opportunity to go to some of these very difficult places and challenging and sometimes dangerous places, I think that would enhance our love of this country a whole lot more. But to all those who have served overseas, like yourself, Kevin, God bless you, away from home, away from family, away from what's familiar, away from what's safe in many instances. So thank you so much, Kevin. Debbie, I don't know if you got something you want to share, but...
No, you said it beautifully. Kevin, thank you so very much. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I won't name the country that I visited on a convention many years ago, but the whole entire the convention attendees, we all had a horrible, horrific, even criminal experience in this country, and we couldn't wait to land back in the United States. When we landed in Texas, that was the first place we landed before we went to our home states. All of us almost got out of the plane and kissed the ground and said, "Thank you, we're home." So I completely agree with you on so many levels that, you know, we're losing perspective here, folks. We really need to appreciate what we have before we end up losing it in the long term. Kevin, thank you so much. Thank you for your service. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Jerry?
Okay, we are going to go to Tony, as promised, in San Antonio, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Tony. Welcome. Hello, Tony. Are you there? Oops, we might have somebody else who is away from their phone. Tony, hang on a minute. We'll have Rich check in on you as we go to Maureen. We will go to Maureen next in Buffalo, listening on Alexa. Hello, Maureen. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Deb.
Hi there.
This is Maureen from Buffalo. I'll be talking to you a little later, Deb.
Okay, sounds great.
So what I wanted to share was I feel that our U.S. flag is being replaced with the rainbow flag.
Mm.
So when I look outside, all my neighbors, all the businesses are flying the rainbow flag. You would never know that it's Flag Day for the United States of America.
Hmm. Hmm. Well, we and you know
really
we brought
sad.
Right. We brought that up. You know, June is Pride Month, and so the Pride flag is being displayed all around the world. So is the BLM flag. That's also being displayed. But again, going back to like what Kevin said, when we do these kinds of things where we display a certain flag that doesn't cover all of us, right? And sometimes these statements have agendas behind them. So that again is a separation. Okay. That doesn't represent all of us. Now, should we be respectful? Should we be kind and tolerant and understanding? Of course. But that doesn't mean we start to do these kinds of things. You know, I could say this. I'm 100% Italian. I'd love to fly the Italian flag. But guess what? Jerry can't relate to that. I mean, he loves Italian food, but he's not Italian. Okay. So it separates us. It's just a natural thing. We need to be Americans. That's where we're here. This is our country, and this is what we should be nourishing and having it thrive into the future. What do you think, Maureen and Jerry?
Maureen?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. But it just, like you said before, I feel like it's almost like people, you know, are kind of afraid to fly the American flag in a way. And, you know, you're in with the crowd if you're doing what all your neighbors do and what everyone else does is, you know, flying the rainbow flag. And but I agree, you just have to, you know, not go along with everybody else.
Right. And, you know, we have to keep in mind, too, what is the rainbow? What does it represent? Well, the origin of the rainbow we see in the Bible, you know, when God promised through the rainbow a new covenant that he would never destroy the earth again with a flood. And so, you know, the rainbow, first and foremost, has connotations for us as children of God and believers of God. And as with so many other things, it can kind of get, you know, co-opted and taken in a little bit of a different direction. Like you said, Debbie, kind of an agenda-driven direction. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Maureen. Great phone call.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
Thanks, Maureen. We'll talk later. Thank you so much. Jerry, we have so many calls coming in and comments. We should probably revisit this topic again, maybe in July, maybe around, or even, you know, let's just keep, you know, bringing up
around Independence Day or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be great. Okay. Where are we going?
We do have time for Dave in Philadelphia on Holy Spirit Radio. Hi, Dave. Glad you could be part of the program today.
Hey, thank you, Jer and Deb, and all the callers. I just say ditto to like Rick and Charles and everybody. I'm forgetting their names. And you, Debbie. Yeah, just and Jerry. Basically. Reiterating to the listeners, you know, who we are as American. And I called, and I know you're running low on time, but this past Friday, my oldest son, Ryan, retired from the Army after 20 and change, as we say, 20 years and about 6 months. And I retired the end of 2006. And when I retired, I was at the old Walter Reed. I mean, it was closed and merged with Bethesda Naval. But at the end, there was a point where under base realignment and closure, it's called, there came a time when the garrison at Walter Reed was closed. And my wife and I went down for the basically closing of the garrison and casing of the colors, and you're talking. Many callers had said about the flag ceremonies. Wow, very poignant. Not to go on, but I just want to give a shout out to my son, David Ryan Parker, for his, you know, going right in out of college when he was 21. And he's a military intelligence officer. And he went right into, he was tip of the spear in Iraq. He went to his first assignment was out of Fort Benning. And he went with the 2nd of the 69th Armor, part of the 3rd Brigade of the 3rd ID. And a lot of young men and women, as I say, cut their teeth. Not every generation does. So, but right. Just also one more shout out. I mean, just think of the, you know, we can't do it alone. I mean, the active components of all the services are there full-time, but we have the National Guard, or the Guard of the respective services, and we have the U.S. Army Reserve. Mm-hmm. And those men and women who, you know, put on the uniform, you know, 1 week in a month or various other ways of participating. But yes, and when the balloon goes up is an old saying, you know, it comes right. from World War One, I believe. You know, they're ready, you know,
yep.
so we are strong.
Dave, on that note, you were right. We had limited time, but I'm so glad you got through. Thank you for your service. Thanks to Ryan. I have a military family of sorts. My brother Joe was 20-plus years in the Navy. Brother-in-law Larry, over 20-plus years in the Marines. So, Debbie, your family has got lots of military in its history as well. Dave, thanks for the call. John, Leslie, Alice, I wish we had time to get to you. I really, really do. What a fantastic program.
This was amazing. Thank you so much to the Take Two family. You guys did it again on the eve of our anniversary, 6-year anniversary for Take Two on EWTN Radio. That's tomorrow's show. We're going to be talking about all anniversaries tomorrow. So until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, please pray for us.